In our increasingly busy lives, we often talk about trying to squeeze something in or schedule a time for. It just seems like we're living event to event or practice to practice, but we've missed out on the ability to enjoy the moment. During Making Room, we'll talk about how to carve out space for the most important things in your life so that you can breathe. Life shouldn't be lived at 100 miles an hour. So let's make some room to enjoy it.
Friendship. Before we get rolling this morning into our message, I want to take just a minute. I know most of you are probably aware of the changes coming up. You've either heard it directly from me as a ministry leader, or you heard it from your ministry leader, or you actually opened up the email that we sent on Friday, you know what's going on. But just to kind of give you just a recap of that, you know, our vision at Friendship is to glorify God as an effective and influential church. And so everything that we do, everything that we program around, every thing that we do, we go through that filter of, is it effective, is it influential? Then we ask the question, is it fun, is it relevant, is it never a waste of your time? And so as we have looked at the two service format that we've been doing for, man, I think it's like 5-6 years now, started over in the South Auditorium, which was about half this size, and it was very effective. And as we continued to grow, we said, hey, let's keep doing that. And now we look at it, we go, you know what, I think it's going to be more effective for us, which again is effective and influential, for us to do one service until we can really do two services just all out and just, you know, great and fun. And y'all are leaving here with tears in your eyes, and you know, you're giving each other hugs, and well, maybe not that, but it's just a great way. You're just like, man, this was just a great morning. And so we want to make sure that we do that, because we truly do take seriously that idea of glorifying God as an effective and influential church. And we never want to do anything, even if it's something like, hey, we like doing this, that hinders that. And so that's why October 15th, we're going to be doing one service at 10:30. I know you 9:30 people are like, man, but trust me, the 11 o'clock people are more upset that they have to come a half hour early. And but that's okay. We're going to do it for a short period of time until, you know, we're at that point where we can really do two full services well and be able to do that. So just mark your calendars, mark that on there. If you have a sticky note on the back of your worship guides, you can use that if you want to. That's not what they're there for, but if you want to do that, you can. I want to begin this morning just really quickly, and I want you all to be honest, okay? So I'm going to just phrase a question, and I want to phrase it this way, and don't answer yet. But how many of you have at some point in your life, at this point in time in your life, experienced a significant, unexpected, negative financial event of some shape, manner, or form? You lost your job, you know, something changed. How, just raise your hand. Just keep it up. Now, I want you really quickly to look around the room, okay? Now, we're not like, yeah, you. No. It happens, right? But I want you to realize it is the vast majority of people in this room. Because here's the truth. If you haven't experienced one yet, get ready, because it's coming. Because that's the way that it is. Now let me ask you a different question. How many of you have experienced a sudden, unexpected, positive financial windfall? Okay, about a third of you. Now, let's balance that out. That means 60% of you are going to experience a significant negative financial downturn without also experiencing a significant financial upturn. That's just the way it works. Because finances are that way. Our world is chaotic and crazy and turned around. And so you have got a choice. You can either pretend like you're the exception and it's never going to happen to you. You're never going to lose a job. You're never going to get a pay cut. You're never going to have a car that, for whatever reason, just decides not to start one morning. Or while you're driving down the road, decides it doesn't want to run anymore. Or it decides it doesn't want a tire anymore. Or whatever, you know, something along those lines. That's just never going to be experienced. You're just never going to experience that. And you're going to walk around life, you've got a lucky rabbit's foot or two that you just, everywhere you go, just like, come on, baby. And you just think that's the way it's going to work. Option number two is that you can put your head in the sand and ignore it. And just kind of, you know, whatever. And you just kind of ignore it. Option number three, which we're going to kind of talk about today, is you're going to expect that at some point in time, you're going to experience a negative financial downturn, and you're going to prepare for it. You're going to plan for it. Now, people are like, well, that's not positive thinking. Well, guess what? You can't eat positive thoughts. And you can write the most positive note in the world to your bank, but they're not going to accept it for your mortgage. So what you need to do is you actually need to financially prepare. Now, you can think positively about it, but the reality is that you need to actually prepare, because more than likely, unless, you know, I don't know, you have been, your dad is, you know, his last name is a Rockefeller, and nobody that's had a last name Rockefeller has had to work since the first one. But the bottom line is, unless that's the case, you're going to experience a significant financial negative event at some point in time in your life. It's just going to happen. So here is the goal that God has for us. God wants us to be able to live in freedom. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. That Jesus Christ says, my yoke is easy. I want you to enjoy the freedom that life gives. I want you to enjoy every moment. If you are living paycheck to paycheck and you know that the other shoe is going to fall at any point in time, you are not living free. You on the inside of you are so tense and so anxious. In fact, you know, my youngest daughter, Georgia, she's right here, so I didn't ask if I could say this, but it's okay. I'll pay for it later. But it's so funny. She loves getting the mail. How many of you love getting the mail? Do you know why? Because like four of you raised your hand. Do you know why? Because what comes in the mail? Bills. Right? You're like, oh, man. Maybe like you drive up to your mailbox, you're like, Lord, bless this mailbox and the stuff that is within it. Because you know that, man, something's going to come. So here's what God says about that. And this is our big idea for today. Financial freedom is found in financial planning. Financial freedom is found in financial planning. In other words, you sit down and you actually create a plan as to how you're going to spend your money, how you're going to invest your money, how you're going to use your money. You're like, that sounds an awful lot like a budget. Yep. But it's more than just a budget. It's looking out into the future and saying, okay, I am going to assume that we're going to have some negative financial events. How do we plan for that? I'm going to assume that one of our children may be wise enough or smart enough or have good enough grades to get into a college of some kind. How are we going to plan for that? I'm going to assume that at some point in time, we're going to get old. Now, I know if you're a 20-something, you're like, oh, no, just wait till you're a 30-something. And then you're a 40-something. And then, from what I hear, a 50-something. Because it just, stuff starts to go downhill, it starts to droop and sag, and it's just not good. Because it happens, you get old. Well, what are you going to do then? You've got a plan. You've got to look out and say, what are we going to do? Financial freedom is found in financial planning. You go, well, that's so strict. I'm a free spirit. That, you know, Dave Ramsey calls it the free spirit. I just like to, well, guess what? Eventually, that spirit's going to get its wings clipped because there's nothing left. You've got to start planning. So what I want to do is I want to share with you four things that you need to do to be able to create financial plans that will work for you. And this is big picture. This is 30,000 foot view, okay, of things that we're doing. But here's the first one. Create margin in your budget. Create margin in your budget. Now, if you go, we don't have a budget, well, then you have a fifth point this morning that starts with one, start a budget. Because it's kind of like if you really want to be successful in financial planning, you need to have a budget. You've got to give every name to every dollar, and you've got to tell it where to go, because money will go wherever it wants to if you don't tell it where to go. And that's what a budget is. You're just telling your money where it's going to go. You're giving it names. You're like, oh, this is the electric bill money. And that's where it goes. And it goes towards that. You're creating that. And so when you look at your budget, really the ideal way to begin to do that is create margin. Margin just means you have extra room, right? You're like, well, extra room. I haven't seen extra room since I was 17 and tried a pair of 34-inch pants on. I don't know what you're talking about, extra room. This doesn't happen. Well, you have to plan for it. The easiest way, the simplest way, when I talk with young couples and they're getting ready to get married, the thing I always throw out is, listen, create what I call a 10-10-80 budget. It's really simple. The first 10% you give back to God, God says that He wants the first fruits of our labors. You give 10 back to God. You then give or yourself 10. You save 10, and then you live on 80% of what you make. You literally go, okay, this is what we have. We take 80% of that. We're going to live within those means. You go, how do we do that? Well, you're going to have to get creative. Maybe don't buy a new car or get the brand new iPhone and pay $70 a month to have the iPhone X or 10 or whatever it is that's really so cool because it's all glass, which means it'll shatter anytime you drop it. Okay, just these things like that. You go, well, but I like that. I understand that. But you know what you'll like even more? When a bill shows up that you don't expect, you can go, it's all right. We've been saving 10% of our income in our savings. We've got the money to be able to do that. We've got the money to be able to pay for that because you've created margin in your budget. There's only three possible outcomes of financial planning. Financial outcome number one is that you have more than you need. Now, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to do financial planning and at the end of life, you've got more money than you started with. And you had financial things that happened, you had negative events, but you had more than enough to cover it all so that when you pass from this life to the next, you actually can go, hey, son, daughter, enjoy this. Now, you wouldn't be saying that directly because it'd probably be in your will because you're dead, but you're going to pass this on to them and you go, I had more than enough because I wisely saved to give you this. Now, option number two is you have just enough. When you die this life, there's nothing left. You like somehow when your clock internally clicked to zero, so did your bank account. And it was perfect. And you had just enough. But here's the thing. You never know if just enough is enough, do you? Because maybe instead of your clock kicking zero at the right time, your clock kicked zero, but you hung on for like 3, 4, 5 more years. Which leads us to financial outcome number three, not enough. So those are the only three financial outcomes. You either have more than enough, just enough, or not enough. I think all of us want to be in the more than enough category. And to do that, you've got to begin to create margin in your budget so that you've got squishy ends so that if something happens, you've got some space still. Look at this. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20. It says, be sensible and store up precious treasures. Don't waste them like a fool. Now, I like stuff. Anybody else like stuff? I really like stuff. I mean, I'm a Craigslist junkie. I just am. I don't want for anything. There's nothing that I need. But if I'm sitting on our porch at night and Tracy's gone to bed, it's like, you know, 7 o'clock or something, I open up my iPad and I click the Craigslist button and I just start scrolling. I don't even put anything in the search bar. I'm just like, what's out there? Wow, I didn't know you could get a shredder for $300. I didn't know that Toro made a scooter. Because I'm just looking. Because I like stuff. But here's the thing. I've gotten to a point in my life where I've watched other people and their mistakes. I've learned from my own mistakes to where now I'm like, you know what? I would rather be at ease and not have stuff that have so much stuff that I can't sleep at night. Because that's where it is. That's really where the balance is, to be able to actually do that. And so the writer, Solomon, says, listen, don't spend it like a fool. Instead, store it up. Not like Grinch, you know, but not like Scrooge, but store it up. Because guess what? Sometimes something's going to happen, and you want to be able to respond. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. Jesus Christ makes a really important clarification about storing treasures up. He says, store your treasures up in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. That's why people say, when you do this 10-10-80 thing, why do you do give back to God first? Because our heart and our passion as a follower of Jesus Christ is to always be focused on what Jesus Christ wants for our lives. And when Jesus Christ has stored your treasures up in heaven, he's talking about doing those things and responding to him in such a way that your focus is not about the things of this world, but your focus is on him. And that's why he ends it with, wherever your treasures are most stored, that is where your heart will be most focused. If you've ever been involved in the stock market whatsoever, and back when there was this thing called newspapers, you would open it up and you would look for your stock. And if you were one of those people that were freaking out, you were like, every day you open it up, and it went up 0.2 points. This is so great. Let's go out for dinner. And then the next day, you know, you open it up and it went down 0.8 points. You're like, we shouldn't have gone out for dinner. And you're going back and forth because your heart is so focused on that thing in which you have invested in. And so Jesus Christ says, invest the vast majority of who you are in following me. That's my desire for you. If you are so wrapped up and so tightly wrapped and you have no margin in your life because of financial things, you will not be able to pursue Jesus Christ with a reckless abandon. Because you'll be focused on, do I have enough money to be able to make it till tomorrow? So create margin in your budget. The second one is this. Build your emergency fund. I love how Dave Ramsey calls it. He calls it Murphy's Law insurance. Murphy's Law is what? If something bad can happen, it will. That's Murphy's Law. If something bad will happen, can happen, it will. Now, I joke about it, but when I do things, you know, I never like say out loud, well, finally it's fixed, or oh, that must be the problem, I've got that fixed, because the minute that I say that, it is something else. Something else falls apart, or I fix the thing on the car that I know is making the noise, and I'm like, okay, cool, that's fixed, and then 5 minutes later, I'm driving, and a different noise begins to take place, because you're like, oh, that's I don't have any more problems, and nothing else can go wrong now, and something always does, right? It's an amazing thing that happens, and I don't know how it does, and I don't know how it works, but it's true. I've experienced it. Many of you others can share it's true as well. But when you have set aside margin in your life, and you have set aside an emergency fund that's there to be able to be used, it's an amazing thing that fewer things tend to go wrong. I don't know why, but fewer things tend to go wrong. And so as you create that margin and as you build your emergency fund, that's the thing that you lean back on if something happens. You literally set yourself up to be able to weather whatever storm may come. Proverbs 22, verse 3, Solomon says this, a prudent person foresees danger and takes precaution. We've already established that you are going to experience a significant financial unplanned negative downturn at some point in time in your life, or maybe many times in your life. If you recognize that, if you realize that that's true, you are to be wise or prudent, and you are to take precautions. You're to set yourself up to be able to weather that storm. And then conversely, he says, but the simpleton goes blindly on and then suffers the consequences. Now, some of you, I can hear you saying, well, you know what? If that happens, we'll just use one of our credit cards. It'll be okay. We've got margin within our credit cards. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. Remember, the whole point that Jesus Christ talks about is giving us freedom to enjoy life. And Proverbs 22, 7 says, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. Not planning literally restricts your freedom. When you have so much debt that you are literally going to work just to pay off your debt, you have restricted your freedom, because you've not financially planned well. So, create and build your emergency fund. Number three, pay first, enjoy later. Pay first, enjoy later. We often enjoy something and then we pay for it later for many, many years. Usually 60 or 72 months with 4.8% interest. We pay for it later. And you know what's amazing is, we'll just talk about the car, since that was kind of one of the statistics that we saw up there, $28,500 of average car debt. By the time you get to the end of that car payment. You're in year five. You're like, I can see the end. That car does not smell new anymore, does it? Now, if you don't have kids, it may still smell new. But if you have kids, it smells like rotten Pop-Tarts and spoiled milk. That's what it smells like. And you are like, I am ready to get rid of this car. And it's not even paid off yet. You stopped enjoying it a whole lot longer than you started and finished paying for it. So if you really want to enjoy life financially, if you really want to enjoy the freedom of life, pay for it first. Enjoy it later. Look at this. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 27. It says, first get your fields ready, next plant your crops, then build your house. They go, what? I don't even have a farm. What are you talking about? What he's saying is, listen, when you get married, you go out, first thing you need to do is get things ready, that stream of income, get it going. Because you know what? Planting season is about this long. If you go, well, I really want to build my house first. Well, here's the problem. You can build your house at any time of the year. You can only plant at this time of year. He's talking about making and sticking to priorities. What has to come first? What are the things that you have to get done to be able to accomplish what you want? So he's saying, listen, if you really want to enjoy this, you've got to take care of it here first. And then you can enjoy it without any worries. It's interesting, if you look at credit card debt or high yield loans, if you have $5,000, and that doesn't sound crazy. I mean, that's 60-some percent less than the average American has, right? Average American household, $16,000 in credit cards. You only have $5,000. You're like, man, we are rocking it. We only have $5,000. But you make the minimum payment, which is about $110. By the time you're done, you're going to pay over $12,000 for that $5,000 loan. You're going to pay more than twice the amount for that $5,000 loan. Because you enjoyed it first instead of paying for it first. Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 30 tells us another way that we can pay if we don't if we don't pay for it first. There's another way that we pay, not just financially. Jesus says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. What is the first thing you will do? Won't you sit down and figure out how much it will cost you and if you have enough money to pay for it? Otherwise, you will be starting to build the tower and not be able to finish it. And then everyone who sees what is happening will laugh at you. And they will say, you started building, but you could not finish the job. You see, if you don't pay for it first, you could potentially pay for it with your reputation and your integrity later. In our world today, it's become increasingly acceptable and normal for people to just file bankruptcy. It's no big deal. What they don't realize is the negative implications of filing bankruptcy years and years and years later. And how it hurts how other people who could potentially work with you or even job-related things, it negatively impacts you. Because it points to your reputation and your integrity. And so really it's important if you want to withhold and you want to stand and you want to build that reputation and integrity, pay for it first. Don't get yourself in such a tight situation that you end up paying for it with integrity or trust or reputation. It's just not worth it. Finally, be generous. Be generous. Create margin in your budget. Build your emergency fund. Pay first, enjoy later. Be generous. You're like, how are we supposed to be generous? We got $16,000 worth of credit card debt, $28,000 worth of car debt. It takes time. But here's the thing. Being generous doesn't necessarily always refer to financial things either. You can be generous with your time. You go, I may not be able to be generous financially with somebody else right now, but I can be generous with my time. That's what it starts with, an attitude of generosity. We see when we read the Bible that God is incredibly generous with us. The Bible says that He sends rain on both the righteous and the unrighteous. He's generous. That He sends harvest on both those that hate Him and those that serve Him. He's generous with all of us. He allows us to continue to wake up every morning and breathe. He gives us the ability to move. He's generous with us. And not only that, he says that when you follow me, I will bless you in ways you can't even begin to imagine. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what I have in store for you if you're certainly willing to follow me. He is a generous God, and we are made in the image of God. And so one of the ways that we can connect with the image of God to be more like him is to inspire within ourselves and within each other a spirit of generosity. Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 through 25, something interesting happens because God's economy is different than our economy. God makes things happen in a different way. I'm amazed at how when people begin to really be intentional and they do that 10 to God, 10 to themselves and 80, they go, I'm just amazed. We are able to live on 80% better than we were able to live on 100%. Because when you start getting things right, God starts blessing in different ways that you can't even imagine. Look at this, Proverbs 11, 24, 25. Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Now, in our human mindset, does that make any sense? Like, no. No, no. How you get wealthy is that you take every penny and you hoard it and you hold on to it. And when you see people who need it, you're like, you should have planned better, sucker. Because this is mine. That's how you do it. But the writer Solomon says, no, that's not how God wants you to do it. God says, yes, plan and be wise, but also be generous. Don't be stingy. And then here in Luke 6:38, Jesus Christ tells us why. He says, give and you'll receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount that you give will determine what? The amount you get back. That spirit of generosity is like a two-way valve. If you become stingy with those around you, you become stingy with your family, you become stingy with God, you are closing that valve. And you are literally restricting God's desire to bless you. Now don't take and go, Pastor Dave said if you give $10, that he'll give you $100 back. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible also doesn't say that he wants you to drive a Bentley or an Alfa Romeo. Those are nice cars. I'm not lying. That's not what he says. God's blessing is not limited to financial, and I am, for one, very thankful for that because I would much rather have a healthy family with children that follow God than $1 million in the bank if I had to choose it to. But literally, if you are not generous, if you are stingy in the way that you live your life, you are throttling back on what God can give back to your life. And so God says, I want you to have that spirit of generosity in you. You've met people that are stingy. You've met people that are those penny pinchers. I mean, man, they just are. How much do they enjoy life? How miserable do they appear on a regular basis? You see, that I think is really what Solomon and Jesus Christ are both trying to get across to us. You can enjoy life. You can enjoy the experiences of life, the people around you, far more if you would have the right mindset, the right attitude. Even if it comes to finances or relationships with family or time with yourself or time with God. When you make room in your life to enjoy life, it changes everything. In this series, we have really talked about the fact that you need to create space so that God can work, that God can move, that you can be free to follow him wherever he may lead. So on your notes today, you received a couple of sticky notes. Sticky notes have always represent represented something you got to make room for. You got to make time for this. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do that. So today, we want to change the reputation of sticky notes. I want to challenge you, and maybe you've got it right now, you know. God has been working on your heart during this series in one of those areas, or maybe multiple of those areas. Room for God, room for self, room for family, room financially. And so what I want to encourage you to do is I want you to write yourself a sticky note. This is what God is challenging me to do. You can put it in your Bible. You can put it on the back of your iPhone or the back of your iPad. You can put it on your visor in your car, whatever the case may be. But here's the challenge that I'm making. Don't forget what God is telling you. Start to make the change. Don't just let it be an emotional, yeah, we should do that, and a week from now you forget about it. But make a difference. Make a change so that you can enjoy life the way that God intended for you to enjoy it, so that you're not running around 100 miles an hour like a chicken with your head cut off, doing absolutely nothing. Because God has bigger plans for your life. Father, we thank you so much. We are blessed that you care about us, that you would care to make a difference in our lives and the way that you work and the way that you plan, that God, that you really want us to go through life truly embracing and enjoying every moment, even if it's hard and difficult things. But God, we see you working in it and in us and changing us and helping us become all that you've called us to be, the men and the women that have been called by your Son, Jesus Christ, into his church, into his body, to become something. God, I pray that we would submit to that. That we would stop letting the chaos of our culture create chaos in us. Help us to embrace a little bit more of a simple life, with a little bit more room, a little bit more maneuvering space, a little bit more room to breathe, to plan, and really most importantly, to enjoy. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that you're a God that doesn't want us to run full throttle in every direction, but you want us to be successful every day, every year, through our entire life, in your name. And Father, it's in the name of our Son, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, that we